Welcome, everybody. My name is Jim O'Neill. I'm a technical evangelist in the Boston area, and I'm excited to be kicking off a new series today on Windows Azure. If I had naming rights, I might even call it something along the lines of Practically Azure, since my goal is to provide about 5 to 10 minute overviews of various features of Azure that are both approachable and actionable on your part. Having presented to audiences on Azure and cloud computing in general, I know how overwhelming the cloud topic can be. There's a lot of things to consider besides just the technology. There's things like compliance, there's security, identity, disaster recovery. And with a platform like Azure that's evolving so quickly, it's kind of tough to distill what you've drunk from that big fire hose into something that you can actually apply to your projects on a day-to-day basis. So my hope is that the series will meet that need by giving you enough context to start tinkering with the various features you find the most relevant. We won't be diving deep into any given topic, but every session will leave you with a list of resources that you can then take that next step towards adoption, whether it be in Windows Azure services, Service Bus, Media Services, HD Insight, or what have you. This is the inaugural episode, so I'd like to set up a brief bit of context for what Windows Azure is first, and how you can get access to the services for free to exercise those features that interest you most. Then we'll follow up with a really, really cool graphic that lays out and categorizes the various features of Windows Azure. And it's that graphic that we're going to use as our roadmap for the rest of the series. So let's get started. So I wanted to provide just a quick overview of what Windows Azure is. So Windows Azure has a global presence. We have 8 data centers across 3 different continents, and that's supplemented by 24 content delivery nodes, which are there to provide content in terms of documents, streaming media, and so on to folks that may not be co-located quite near some of those data centers. Windows Azure also has a very flexible deployment model. You can deploy applications as platform as a service, meaning you can just essentially provide your application to Windows Azure and it will take care of it for you. Or you can provide a virtual machine in terms of infrastructure as a service. You can set up that virtual machine exactly as you want it, and Windows Azure can take care of that for you as well. And then lastly, we also have a websites option that provides the capability to essentially deploy a website like you might to a typical hoster. One thing that people don't really realize about Windows Azure is how open it is. So Windows Azure, of course, will run the Windows Server operating system in the cloud, but we also run various variants of Linux, including Ubuntu, CentOS, and SUSE, which allows you to essentially bring a lot more capabilities into the Windows Azure cloud and then take advantage of a number of the other services as well to complement what you might have running on Linux. Now, if you were to step inside of a Windows Azure data center, you might see something that looks like this. It's really kind of a very fascinating way they put these things together. On the left here, you see a picture of shipping containers, and those shipping containers are essentially rolled in into a warehouse floor. They're connected with power and cooling and internet. And once they start humming, you're going to have about 1,500 to 2,000 servers running inside one of those actual containers, and you can see that picture on the right. Inside of those containers, what's actually running is what we call commodity hardware. So it's not souped up hardware with, you know, 256 CPUs and terabytes of data. It's hardware that's there to allow you to scale and to be fault tolerant. So if something fails, then there's another piece of hardware just like it right in that same container or maybe in a container across the data center, and the Windows Azure fabric that's controlling the data center can quickly recover from a failure, and your application may not see any downtime for your users, which is obviously a great, great feature. For your perspective, the other neat thing about cloud computing and Windows Azure is the fact that you're paying for what you use when you need it. So if you have a very cyclical business, you can actually pay for more capability maybe towards the holidays if you're running some sort of retail business, and pay for less of that capability, you know, sort of during your downtime. You're going to pay for exactly what you use. So it's kind of an a la carte menu. And as we go and look at some of the services that Windows Azure has to provide, you'll be able to essentially pick and choose which of those services you want to use, and you'll pay for only what you actually use of those services, which makes it really, really great and agile in terms of your development platform and your development projects. So let's take a look at how you might get a hold of Windows Azure. So as I mentioned earlier, we have free Azure trials that are available for 90 days. Here's a URL at the top that you can access and get online in Windows Azure within a few minutes. You will need a credit card. The credit card is there to just verify that you're a live human and that you're not trying to accumulate lots of free hours through some sort of a bot. Once you get on Windows Azure, you'll be able to have access to all of the various features, all the services we'll be talking about for the rest of this series. You are gated, so every month you will have some subset of those services that you can use. If you exceed those services, your trial account will essentially just sort of be suspended until the next month. If you really get into it and you really like it and you really want those services to continue, you can upgrade that trial account to a paid account, and again, you'll be paying for just exactly those services that you use. Now, if you're on one of our other developer programs, such as MSDN, or if you're in one of our startup programs like BizSpark or WebsiteSpark, you might not be aware that you already have Azure right now. So each of the MSDN subscriptions comes with a certain amount of Azure benefits per month, as well as our BizSpark and our WebsiteSpark, which are tailored towards startup type of arrangements. Each of these has a different level of capabilities per month, but if you're at the upper end, if you have BizSpark or Ultimate MSDN, you actually get about $3,700 worth of services just free every month. So if you're not taking advantage of that, you're essentially leaving money on the table, and you're not getting the learning that you could be getting in terms of cloud computing and Windows Azure in general. So definitely advise you to take advantage of those capabilities if you have that MSDN subscription. What I want to do next is sort of go into the roadmap that we're going to be using for the rest of this series. Now, this roadmap is something that was developed by one of my colleagues in Germany, and I've somewhat adapted it and modified it as some of the newer features have come about. But I think it's a great way to visualize pretty much all of the Windows Azure services in one slide and characterize them in various different categories. There's four categories we're going to step through. And it helps get your mind around a lot of these different services. And what we're going to do in the rest of the series is sort of dive into each one of these building blocks and talk a little bit more about what that service provides, how you might use it as part of your application. And we'll actually start looking at code and provisioning those services through the Windows Azure portal. So at the bottom, we have the data layer. So the data layer is data in the cloud, and that's pretty much the easiest way to get into the cloud. Many of you are probably already there. You have SkyDrive accounts, you're using Dropbox, those types of things. That's all data in the cloud. There's lots of different ways you can store data in the cloud. You can store it as unstructured, you can store it as structured, you can store it as relational data like SQL Server in the cloud. All those capabilities are part of Windows Azure as well, and that's probably where we're going to start attacking things in the next sessions. On top of the data layer is the application layer. So you typically don't just have data. You have an application that does something with that data, distills that data, presents it to the end user. And this is where we talk primarily about our compute capabilities inside of Windows Azure. And it's those middle three boxes that comprise the compute capability, the idea that I can build an Azure website with ASP.NET or PHP or Node.js and connect it into storage that's also running in the cloud to provide an end user experience that has global reach. I mentioned also about virtual machines, so this is a way that you can build a virtual machine on Windows or Linux and deploy that to the cloud. So there's lots of different ways that you can get your application out there. On the right, there's actually business intelligence capabilities in the cloud. Many of you may have heard of big data and Hadoop. That's something that we have as part of Azure as well. And then on the left, we have mobile services, media services. These are kind of finished services. These are capabilities that take advantage of the core data layer, in some cases compute layer, but they're abstracted so that they're much easier to use and tap into for building applications. Typically, applications that have sort of a mobile presence, like Windows 8 or Windows Phone or even iOS and Android. So as we move up the layer, there's an integration layer. So when we talk about the integration layer, these are services that help combine different applications or different services together to make them appear as one. So we're talking about networking here. We're talking about identity, being able to log into your application using maybe a Facebook ID or a Google ID, being able to synchronize data across both on-premises assets and in the cloud, being able to essentially point some of your users towards a version of your application or a version of your website that is targeted towards European users versus North American users or something along those lines. So again, it's a higher level capability. It tends to get a little bit more enterprisey at this level because we're connecting disparate resources both across the cloud and on premises. And then at the top of all this is the end user experience. These are the devices that can tap into the cloud. And essentially any device can tap into the cloud, because if you think of how the cloud works, it's essentially a website. It's an HTTP protocol that's traveling back and forth across various device footprints into various data centers and content delivery nodes. Anything that can talk HTTP can talk to Windows Azure. So that means things like browsers, it means things like phones, things Windows 8, the new Surface, the desktop PCs that you've had, you know, sitting on your desk for 10 years, even things like game consoles, Xbox, and so on can actually now talk to Windows Azure. So there's a really, really rich ecosystem of devices that can tap into all of these services and really create experiences that sort of transcend the various different devices that you're on. You can pick up a movie that you might have been watching on the train on your phone and then come home and watch it on your Xbox or watch it on your PC and so on. So with Windows Azure and a lot of the core services that are below this layer, you'll be able to create those really, really compelling experiences. So what we're going to do over the next few weeks is take a look at all of these services, again, more or less one-on-one. We're not going to do them from right to left, from top to bottom. We'll hit them at a different cadence than that, kind of what makes sense in terms of building up the knowledge and the insight into what Windows Azure can provide you. But we'll probably start with data at the bottom, specifically the blobs and the table data, and we'll hit that on our next episode. So this is Jim O'Neill again, and thanks everyone for joining me on this first episode. Join me next time when we start taking a look at Windows Azure Storage.